Yo, 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 you already know who it is. Price, Rob, Visky, Bruh, Me, Goes, Podcast, back. Your weekly episode. You already know how we coming to you. Hallelujah. The Pacers did it again. We got to talk some NBA Finals. A little bit of new media, old media. Our super teams extinct. We're going to talk a little bit of NFL, some MLB, with some proven statistics again via Rob, and some WWE Money in the Bank. On this episode, sit back, get you a drink, relax, kick up your feet. It's Bruh Migos Podcast.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Rob,
what up?
Visky, yeah. We are back. Our weekly episode, all three of the bros in full effect. NBA Finals recap.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, look, I'm convinced that Haliburton may not be the superstar that you want, but he might be the superstar that you need at times right now.
If we finally getting admittance,
I still don't pick them to win.
Yeah.
I ain't stop picking him to win.
I ain't picking him to lose either.
But they might not lose if he continues to come through in the clutch at times like this. He noticed the mismatch. He took Cason Wallace off. He hits the shot. Bam, they win. But I don't think the Thunder going to go down too easy like that. I think that it's going to be a dog fight for this one.
Absolutely.
One thing I want to say before I pass everything over, a lot of people out there, and I'm looking at the camera, I'm looking into you people's soul today. A lot of y'all who are saying, NBA Finals are boring. They not there. It's not that. It's a lie, though. That's a lie.
Right.
You mad because your team made it. That's what you're mad about.
That's what it is.
You're mad because it's not a feature that you want, because they playing A1 basketball up and down the court. It is so much action packed. The time flies by. I sit here and then I get upset because they're not playing back to back no more, and I don't have another game to go watch. But luckily, baseball has been holding me down.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jarvis, I'm gonna let you go first, since right now you're rooting Pacers. What do you think so far about this NBA Finals Game 1?
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised, even though the world might be surprised. No, I, being a Haliburton fan, the number one person in the Haliburton fan club, knew me. I seen it. When they got to, when it was like 94-98, I said, oh yeah, that's it. Pacers got this. They cut it down to 4. I said, oh, that's it. They got it. Boom. And then they got a defensive stop. Haliburton got the ball. Like, I knew what was about to happen. I don't think Shea and them knew what was about to happen to them, but I knew. Come on now. And I always wanted to say, specifically to you, put some respect on my guy's name.
I'm going to tell you why I'm not going to do it, bro. I respect what he's done. But as far as superstar, was that a superstar game he played? No. Was that a superstar shot he made at the end?
But he is wise. Yes. He is wise. See, y'all so used to this new generation of shoot first. He is a pass first point guard. He is a traditional more point guard. Take over scoring when you need him to.
Whatever.
Rob, your thoughts, Rob. Rob, give me your thoughts.
Nah, man, look. I told y'all I really wanted this game. I really couldn't wait for this game to happen. I basically was there to be... I was like, hey, I need this to be in my face. I need the Thunder and the Pacers, and they delivered game one. I can't stop hating on the Pacers. I cannot. I know Jarvis is there. I know he has his whole thing. I cannot still have the Pacers hoist the Larry O'Brien in my mind. And this is different from the hate that I usually do, my actual productive hate. This is more homegrown from the soil. Cannot stand this fucking team. All right. So he can have that. He can basically say, all right, yeah, we up game one. I, respect on it. No, absolutely not. I will not. But what I will do is I will basically take you out of court. And if you would, please, Mr. Nate, if you could unveil what I basically have brought to the court as evidence as to why Tyrese Haliburton is doing as well as he's doing. If you would, please, Mr. Nate.
What is he going to do, my
I'll
boy?
I'll be more than happy.
I got to see what he's going to do, my boy.
All right. So as you can see, people of the court of the podcast, we have Exhibit A, Mr. Nate, Mr. Jarvis, Mr. Bisky, excuse me, I am calling you by your wrong name. Mr. Big Bisky, can you please show, see, tell me what you see on this picture right here?
Well, I see like Halliburton, you know, he jammed, dude, you know, with a bucket in his face, you know, they both looking at it go in.
But what color? Oh, sorry, I stopped you. What were you saying? Go ahead, finish.
You know they yell little weight jerseys, Cavs and the home jerseys.
Hey, Mr. Nate, can you go down to Exhibit B, please? Now, gentlemen, what do you see in this picture?
Halliburton shooting one over. That's Mitchell Robinson.
It's Mitchell Robinson, you know, in Madison Square Garden, Mecca. You know, this is the game winner for that one. Please, if you both could, go down to Exhibit C. And what do y'all see right here? What do you see right here? What all you see right here?
Again, Halliburton, Jan in the yellow jerseys, and they in the home white jerseys.
Okay, all right. Now let's go back up to Exhibit A. Let's go back up to Exhibit A, please.
Okay.
What color jersey is the opponent wearing?
White.
Back to Exhibit B. What color jersey is the opponent wearing?
White.
What color of jersey is the person wearing?
White.
Now won't you please go down to my fourth one, which is Exhibit WW. This is the reason why Tyrese Halliburton is doing what he is doing. People, ladies and gentlemen of the court, I want you to look at the three right here. Because you saw the three up there. Here's the three right here. This man is doing it for them. He's the White Walker. He's White Mane, the Snowman, whatever you want to put it. That's what he's doing right here. This is what this is. I have seen what this is. When he sees white, he actually sees red. And that's why he's hitting these game winners. These white jerseys, these white women, all over the line. Keep your third eye open. Keep all that open. That's what this is. That's what this is. Now, you at home, you're going to say to me, well, he also hit a game winner against the Bucks. They were wearing black jerseys. Now, Mr. Nate, where is Tyrese Halliburton from? What state?
Wisconsin.
Where does the Milwaukee Bucks play?
Wisconsin.
So by transitive property, you would say that is his home state, correct?
Correct.
What are the first two letters in H-O, in home?
H-O.
And it follows. It all aligns. Every bit of it. If you look in the stars, look at what we're seeing here. This is the evidence. This is why Tyrese Halliburton is doing what he is doing. This man is doing it for the hoes and doing it for the whites. That's what this
is. You know why, Rob?
Hey, that's what this is. What's up?
First, you know, you shoot up the club, then he go and shoot them lights out in the gym.
Rest my case. We, as a podcast, rest our case.
Tyrese Halliburton. Doing it for the white man.
The White Walker strikes again.
The White Walker strikes again. It has been, look, I'll say this, he's had a string of game-winning shots. And the next thing for him is going to be superstar consistency. He gets to that, it's going to be over.
Yeah. No, he's that dude. And that's been the thing about his. But I also got to talk about J-Dub, man. You got to do more at the end of the game, dog. Like, I understand that you were, you know, doing you guys, you and Chet and SGA, you gotta make that shot. I know you the MVP. I gotta close, because the Pacers will close you out. And that's what they've been doing to all these teams. You guys had a 15-point lead, kind of squandered it, and they basically came back up. Which this has been happening so much throughout the playoffs. Basically people squandering big leads. I don't know what it is, I don't know what's been happening. But like, yeah, that's been the other thing about this playoff that's been absolutely crazy. But no, they were in for probably a 7-game series. Hopefully a 7-game series.
But the unsung hero at the end of that was Andrew Nembhard, though. Yes. Whenever he went one-on-one and he did his thing, that was the unsung hero. Because all of that set up everything out there. Because if he misses that shot, they don't get everything else that they got down the stretch. At the end, he definitely did his thing. But they have a very good color.
Coming through.
Yeah, Obi Toppin came through. Yep.
They've had a very good stretch. Like I said, they're running 10 deep. They did their thing. They made the comeback. But I'll say this. I think tomorrow night, don't be surprised if OKC comes in there and they say, hey, we going pillar to post. We ain't giving it up this time. Because at the last second is when Indiana did this and they took the lead for the first time in the game. So I wouldn't be surprised if Sunday they come out and say, you know what? Pillar to post, y'all not getting this. Yeah, we going to win and get this thing 1-1. And I think they're definitely going to try to steal one in Indiana so that this series doesn't come out anything more than 2-2 by the time they leave Indiana. It's going to be good, though.
Yes.
I'm kind of predicting we see the same suit we follow. Indiana going to win the first two like every other series. And then that's going to be the deciding factor. Can they finally win a game?
I don't think that they win it again, the first two. I think that the Thunder going to make sure that tomorrow night they don't leave their fans disappointed.
Isn't it the same Nate that said they
weren't
winning the first?
Hey, they barely won the first.
They did barely win the first one, nigga. The Thunder's still a better team.
In the win column, they got a W, right?
They'll have an L.
Oh, yes, a W.
No matter how you get it,
Look, it's going to be...
I predict the L coming Sunday.
It's going to be like what Daniel said, balance is all things should be. Like, the L is coming, they gonna even that shit out.
To me, the unsung hero that people forget about, Rick motherfucking Carlisle.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like he's kind of been out coaching, and that's how he has been able to get them to win because he is doing a little bit of out coaching. Remember, he has a ship already. Playoff experience.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He does. And that is a factor. That is a factor that he does have that. But I'll say this. He has been, to say he left a team where he had a superstar and he went to Indiana and now he's doing this with Indiana, that says a lot. That says a hell of a lot as a coach. Now, as we move from off the hardwood, I got to speak about something that I heard the other day flipping through shorts and doing a little research, you know, for the pod, you know. And I'm tired of this new media, old media thing. And I'm going to tell you guys where I'm coming from with this. I'm tired of hearing guys like Jeff Teague say that they're part of the new media and they don't hate like the old media. No. All of y'all are some haters. Every single one of y'all are some haters. Because I've listened to y'all hate on the new guys in the NBA. Mm-hmm. I've listened to y'all hate on the old guys. I've listened to the old guys hate on y'all. And I've listened to the old guys hate on some of the current NBA. And most of the people who hating are either people who hate just to hate, or they're people that are speaking and hating because they didn't get it done whenever they were there. Okay? And I'm going to speak on it as... one person, Gilbert Arenas. I feel like Gilbert hates at times just because he didn't get a championship. And he's mad that Nick Young got one, even though Nick Young wasn't the player that he was. That's why Nick Young constantly rubs it in his face. I feel like Jeff T is a hater at times because he'll say something like, oh, I don't really care for this, that, and the third. And it's like, okay, bro, I understand, you know, you might have not got it done, but you made that money, though.
Yeah.
Made that bread, baby. You did your thing. And Jeff Teague, to me, was a damn good player. I used to bust people's ass, you know, with that Atlanta Hawks team back in the day. Him, Joe, you know, Crossover, you know, Horford, they got busy, you know, they got busy. But all in all, it's the same. I want everybody to stop hating on each other. Appreciate, you know, that y'all.
Please,
man, love
I'm enjoying this playoffs and everything. It's good.
And for some people to say that they're not enjoying this or they don't believe what this is, look, stop it. This is a great playoff. This is gonna be a great playoff series. And no matter which direction it goes, Thunder champions, this is gonna be something epic to watch because it's two new teams. It's not the Lakers, it's not the Celtics, it's not this or that. You got somebody who's going to win a championship funded off of the back of Paul George. And I hope he feels some type of way.
It's actually, look, shout out to Basketball Illuminati that actually uncovered it. This actually traces all the way back to Kurt Thomas. Like, it's a very, very long story. It was in their last episode, but essentially Kurt Thomas being shed for cap space essentially led to this NBA championship. Literally, like, the Paul George trade, the Sabonis trade, like, everything. Kurt Thomas on the Suns basically led to this moment.
I like to think of it as Paul George's failures manifesting in the two teams rising from the ashes. Yeah. Playoff P? No. Regular season year.
Playoff P. He doesn't try to make the playoff P.
I mean,
you don't even want me and Rob to jump down that rabbit hole of him getting paid and not playing. We won't see him if he decides to stay in the league that long and get paid again. Well, it's almost contract time, baby.
Nigga.
Oh, we're going to see.
I don't expect to see him play good. I'm maybe predicting he... Look, if I had to do an over under 60 games next year, I'd get money.
Oh, yeah. Nigga, 45, maybe 40, 50, maybe?
Yeah, 41 exactly.
Spread about throughout the season. Sprinkle me, baby. Like, throughout the season.
He taking 22, 25 games off easy. Mm-hmm. I doubt he make that 65 game hit where he
did. One month injury. One. Like, out for a month for something.
Don't know what, but it's going to be something.
Your choice, Paul George. Your choice.
I'm thinking he's going to say angle. You know, that's me.
But don't worry, guys. He's not going to podcast. All right. Yeah. He's not going to do it. That's the difference. That's what's holding him back. It's him coming to these podcast mics that's basically making him hurt to where he can't play no more, dog. That's what it is, all right?
You want to talk too much.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Because your body works together, you know? Your tongue bone connected to your, you know, sprained ankle bone. Like, all that shit goes. Like, all that shit just happens. Like, it's just, if basically it just loosens his whole body up, then basically gets hurt. That's what it is. It's physiology.
Too busy trying to do podcast, P, huh?
Hey.
You need to be out there trying to get some rehab, P, is what you need to do. That's what you need to do. But off of playoff, P, to our super teams bound for extinction. Do you guys think that we are going to see the last of the super teams and we're going to go back to building teams up from scratch and making pieces fit? Do y'all think, what direction are we heading now? Is the super team going to be extinct?
I'll take it. I think, yes, we are on the end of the super teams because the players that started, they are all getting older and phasing out of the league. And I think the younger generation, once you hear them talk about it, a lot of them don't want to do the teaming up thing. Like, you know, they'll team up, we know, with, like, certain role players, but, like, the top guys in the younger generation, they want to play each other like the old days. They ain't trying to teammate with motherfuckers. You know, they're like, I want to whoop this nigga ass. You know, stuff like that. So, and it's sad to say, it's our generation, the dudes at our age, started the whole team up thing. So now that we all getting old, that's in the next 5 to 7 years, I say for sure 7 years, it's going to look completely different.
What about you, Rob?
So I will say yes and no, because I say no because essentially I think that, well, let me start with yes. I'll say yes. No, sorry. Let me start with no. I say no because we're going to still have cats. I know. Look, I fucked myself up. But you still got cats that want to play with each other. And so you're still going to have cats that want to basically build teams together, and they want to basically say, hey, I got my homie, he's on a team that I don't like, I think he basically, like, say he's on a Charlotte or something like that, like, he's wasted away, I need to bring him in, he's somebody this. You're gonna still have people that want to work those things out, just like you had with the Suns, just like you had with all these other teams that kind of were built together essentially through the Durant, but like built together. Where I say yes, that it's going to basically go extinct. And this is where I think the parallel of the NBA on TNT crew kind of has like a parallel with this, you know, super team extinction. The one thing you cannot replicate and the one thing that you basically see with this OKC team and even with this Pacers team is chemistry. These guys have been together for years and they know each other and they kind of sync together. And so like that mantra, because we talked about super teams way back, like saying Pat Riley had to pay for his crimes. Like, I don't even remember that, Nate. Like, we had to basically, we were basically saying Pat Riley had to play because essentially this was on the back of the Suns trying to build their super team with Booker and Beal and Durant. It was essentially, hey, they were thinking, I just need 3 folks and then everything else is going to fall into place, not thinking about how my roster is going to be constructed. Because the Heat at least did it in a way that it was like, they knew, okay, I need this person, I need that person. They put it all together and put, you know, got guys who were nice, like a Shane Battier, put him, hey, you got this specific role to help these 3 Titans. Go ahead, just do that and be that supporting role. I don't think we have GMs that want to basically build teams that way because they don't understand like what their roster construction needs to be to have these kind of folks. Lakers are probably going to be going through it with Durant, I mean, with Luka and LeBron, and basically like how their roster is going to be constructed with those two guys at the top. You know, like other teams as well. And so I think that when it comes to the super teams, yeah, you're going to have cats that want to join up and make their Justice League in a sense. But you also going to have teams that's going to be like, hey, look, I like the people I already got here. We were drafted together. We kind of grown up together. You know, like we can build and keep what we have here, which is why, like, I don't think like the Thunder are going to go after Durant, you know, or like Giannis, especially with all the picks that they have. I don't know what they're going to do with them, but it's like, I don't think that they're going to try to break up what chemistry they have, because that is part of what makes them so great. It's just that chemistry. It's giving that hive mind. I think that's what's basically going to kill the super team era, if it will.
Okay.
Like the explanation I get you.
Thought about this, and I think super teams are going to die, like you said, Rob. I think they're going to die because Oklahoma is showing us, hey, you can still build a team from the ground. And the same thing with the Pacers. Even though they made a couple trades, you know, they traded Sabonis for Halliburton, they got a point guard, and they got other things. They're showing you that it's still possible and that they're the ones that's out on top right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like you, to your point, saying with Durant, you show the destruction of a team that just not long before Durant got there was in the finals, and now it didn't even make the playoffs. You fall from a grace of being in the NBA Finals to not even grace in the playoffs, and you have a guy who's probably arguably one of the best scorers that God ever made at 7 foot with a handle, a jump shot, and everything else, and you don't even make the playoffs, that's an issue. It's going to make GMs, it's going to cost some GMs some jobs. Your job as a GM needs to be rethought right now. If you're thinking, I'm going to get three people and win this, it's not happening. You need to figure out who's going to be my top dog, who's going to be secondary. I need to put defense. I need to know what is cohesive here. What's the best? And I think in the end, that's what's going to kill it. That's what's going to kill it. The cohesive teams are going to kill the super teams, because I'm going to point this one out, and I think this is going to be a good showing of one. The guy that I love to make jokes about, Playoff P, okay? There is so much money invested in him and Joel Embiid, and not one person. That team can't function without those two there. We just saw Tyrese Maxey, who is a great point guard. He can go out there and try to get you 30 every night.
Yep.
Rest of the team ain't there.
Right.
They're not there. And then whenever the extras get hurt and it's just him, it's like, well, damn, what do we have left?
Mm-hmm.
That's why, to me, I'll be honest, if I'm Philly, if there's not a long enough term solution for Embiid, I'm trading. Dang. There's not a long enough term. Yeah, if there's not a long enough term solution for Paul George, I'm trading. Give me what I can get while I got this dude who's 20-something years old as a point guard. Let me go see if I could find him some running mates.
Yeah, I think they need to build around Maxey more than the other two. Like, Maxey is the future.
That's what befuddles me with them giving them so much money. And it's like, I can't give Paul George enough money. I'm sorry. I may sound like the worst person in the world, but my mom watches a little basketball with me every now and then. And she said, does he play a lot? Because I watched Sixers game with you and I haven't seen him that often. And I was like, nah, he's kind of hurt. She was like, she's a person because she's more baseball heavy. She said, she pulled my move. She said, define kind of hurt. And I said, he missed half the games this year. And she said, wouldn't be getting paid on my salary. And we kept going after that. And I was like, if she can make that decision, it shouldn't be that hard for anybody else.
Shout out to mom, man.
Yeah. If she ain't working, you ain't getting paid.
And that's her thing. Look, she's a diehard Braves fan. I'll never forget.
Sorry to hear about that.
Smart.
Sorry to hear about that.
Let's keep going.
Just keep going.
Whenever Acuna got hurt and they had his backup out there and he wasn't doing the best, she was like, yeah, I might bench him or see if I can't make a trade. And she was like, it's not working.
It ain't gonna work.
And I was like, you can't trade him. We only 2030. She was like, if I'm GM, I can do whatever I want.
Thanks.
And he's out of here. And I was like, I thought to myself, I said, it's a few of y'all in Atlanta lucky that that woman ain't running.
Mama say, we ain't got time to wait and see.
She's like, I will throw them out immediately. And I was like, maybe that's where I get there sometimes. Because I'm ready to sell you on the river sometimes if I can't get this done.
You got 5 games to show me something, Missy.
Yeah, but he's a perfect example of that, dog. Like, I think what you said is right. It's time for us to get away from it. I think that we're headed back into the era of, I'm going to call it early 2000-ish, where the teams were more balanced. And we're going to see who has real potential superstars.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see who rises from the ashes now. I think that's where we're at right now. And I hope that's where we kind of stick, you know? That's what I'm praying for.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm hoping and praying for. But moving on. You know, there's this guy who people like to call Legoat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And things like that. And it's not my goat. But, Rob, I think this is more suited for you. What exactly did he do the other day?
So, guys, Rob James, let's ask a question. Is he a glory thought? Here's why I basically put it up. Right after the Pacers clinched the NBA Finals, like, to go to the NBA Finals, this man put, and his team, his folks, and yes, I don't know if LeBron was basically going on the podcast website and pushing, you know, push, but he probably had a play in it. This man basically had his folks release the episode the day, like not even the day. It was like less than like a few hours after they clinched. And here's why I call him a glory thought. Because the thing about it is that will be the time to be like, hey, we have an NBA finals to basically talk about. We got to basically bring everybody up to speed on these two teams. But yet you want to put out an interview with you and Luka, knowing damn well people going to want to basically hinge on that. ESPN want to go and be all over that shit. And you going to put out that right as they basically clinch. Come on, dog. Like that, like you can't give them a little space to breathe. Like nothing.
Just a little like, on the spotlight.
Like just... people gonna talk about you for the rest of your life, Hall of Fame career, all that kind of shit. But you ain't gonna let them have a minute? Come on, big dude. Like, you know, and what Nate was talking about, how people saying this whole thing was boring. That would have been the time to basically get people to get tuned to what was actually gonna be happening with the NBA Finals. But since you wanted to basically put that shit out. And granted, nobody talked about it. I don't even know nobody knew about it before I said this. Like, I might be breaking news to some people. But I basically went to sleep late that night when the Pacers clinched, woke up, and I'm seeing this episode on my little thing saying that basically him and Luka have, like, this interview. And I'm like, that couldn't wait a week? I couldn't wait till, like, the off season. Like, come on, dude. Like, let's be for real, dog. Like, LeBron, you gotta stop that, dog. And I'm putting it on you, because we know how much control you have over all this shit. It ain't just like, oh, I don't know. Yes, I don't know when people get traded. I don't know when things happen. Like, nah, fuck that, dude.
Man know
like,
everything. He probably sitting in the meetings himself.
Yes. Yes. He can never tell me that he doesn't know exactly what's going on. And we know that he's a glory thot because he wants you. Look, you know what part of it is? Part of it is I don't want to be behind Mike.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be behind Mike. And I understand. 23 casts a huge shadow.
Yeah.
A huge shadow. It is, would he help change the league, dog? He the reason y'all getting paid. Hell, if anything, I'd have went and signed him. I'd have been like, Jumpman James. I can't even lie to you. I'd have been like, hell yeah, I want to be like Mike.
Yeah.
But like, I may not win 6 championships, but I'm going to try to get as many things accomplished.
Get all this money on with him, shit.
Oh, yeah. Because trust me, Mike does not worry about any of Mike.
Nothing. Got
mega yachts and in a racing team and a bike racing team and all kind of other stuff. And Mike get full of that liquor, boy. Man, nigga. He ain't worried about nobody.
All the cigars. He's smoking a cigar back to back like Bruce.
Mm. But he don't even care no more. Mike is like, I'm in there. Mike said, I don't care about nothing else. With Mike not giving a damn about what's going on in the NBA to us giving a damn about what's going on in the NFL.
Transition.
Aaron Rodgers, after the wait, the non-COVID vaccination lion QB has decided to sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers for $13 million.
Bro Rogan.
And a lot of people are saying,
about time.
But here's the thing, though, Whiskey. It's like, now what now? What are you going to do? Because if you ask me, Steelers, I just want to let y'all know. Y'all just got just good enough not to be bad and not bad enough to get a good draft position next year. That's what y'all just did. Being relevant in the playoffs to me, and I don't know about nobody else, but if I was the Steelers, I need a quarterback.
Yeah.
So to get a quarterback, I need a high draft position. Right. Yeah. Well, that means I can't win games. If I was the owner, and I know that y'all are going to say that this is probably one of the most corrupt things that you could ever do as an owner, but I wouldn't care. I'd rent me a yacht for the players, and I'd say, hey, guys, we're going to go to the yacht every weekend. We just go chill. How y'all play is how we play.
Right.
Look, you get tired by second half, look, put the second team in there. Go in there.
Like, hey, like are you throwing?
Look, I need them to go get some run. I got to figure some things out checkbook-wise. You know, I got to balance them books.
Right.
And the fans may not agree with me. But whenever I get that top five draft pick and I get the future bought in there.
Mm-hmm.
Got to pull a Lawrence Taylor on them, man. Get them some women before every game.
Every game.
Everyone.
Every game. Because I want a draft pick. I don't know about y'all, but I personally think that it doesn't mean much if you're the Steeler. It means you might win, maybe. But can you compete with everybody else? What do you guys think? Rob, what you think?
Man, look, like, everybody said it best. And to be real, this was the same thing I think we said, like, when he got signed to the Jets, which was, you're still the third best team in your division. Like,
yes.
And granted, that was kind of proven a little bit weird because the AFC East turned into what it was. But it's still to the point of they're basically the third best team in the AFC North. And that's really because the Browns are so fucking trash right now. Like, you could basically be like, they are the worst. But it's Mike Tomlin basically possibly hitting his streak ended of winless seasons, you know, basically, or winning seasons or non-losing seasons or whatever way they want to put it. This might be the snapping of that. You know, like, this might be the end. And yeah, like, they don't really get that much better. Like, they got a quarterback that it's a good deal for him because $13 million is like what Sam Darnold was making when he was with the Vikings, just a little bit more than that. But, and it's really just like, okay, we still got flexibility if we need to do something else because they lined with shit. They went and got old boy out of Texas, Kelvin Banks. But, like, they still need... I still need more, you know, like, this is going to be something that's going to give them better than what they had with Mason Rudolph, but it's not going to basically make them better than the Bengals, not going to make them better than the Ravens. And that's who they basically got to contend with at least four times a year between those two teams. And so, I mean, they still shit, but they're going to probably be 9-8, which, like you said, going to put them out of a draft position. So, or a good draft slots. Is what it is.
What you thinking, Biscuit? Does this help them any?
I mean, it gives them a little boost, but I think that's only lasts for a couple games, maybe just the excitement. But we already seen what Aaron Rodgers done in the past couple years, you know, like, yeah, he on his way out. Like, I don't even know why he even playing this year. He could have just retired. But yeah, that man on his way out, he ain't about to lead him to no Super Bowl, not in that division.
Nah.
That ain't about to happen. Ravens and Bengals. Nah. Well, Bengals defense really ain't that great. But the Ravens defense for sure, I don't know what he think he gonna do on the Ravens defense. Not a damn thing.
It's gonna turn to a shrimp real quick. Like,
it's gonna come down to week 18. They 8-8. And then they fighting to see if they gonna have a winning or losing season.
You know what? But I think we gotta stop overlooking the biggest part of possibly like a opportunity, like a really marketing opportunity, especially when you talk about with that division. Life alert. You got a man that's basically an old ass motherfucker that's playing on his old ass squad. The people that were Steelers fans, probably median age is like 60. The people that's like outside of living in that area. So now you got an opportunity, Life Alert. I'm giving you some free game right here. You have an opportunity to go to that man and basically say, hey, or go to that team, say, look, we will sponsor y'all. We will put a little bracelet on your wrist, where your plays are, and just tap it just a few times. When you just call, because we know somebody like, what was it, Roquan Smith, Trey Hendrickson, basically they could get a deal in Cincy. Like, we know those motherfuckers could be coming around the corner. So let's go ahead, let's do something about this. Let's make some money here, all right? Life Alert. Hit up that boy. Say, look, tell him it ain't no ivermectin in it. It ain't no, there is no vaccine in that that bracelet. All right, just tell him to tap it a few times. Like when he's in danger, it's gonna be a lot. So just get some good batteries for it. But yeah, no, Life Alert. Hit that boy up. I'm telling you.
Yeah, they definitely gonna have to look. It's coming now. I don't know what he think he might do, but Steelers, look, you had a chance this year.
Okay, mm-hmm. A few times.
21.
If the Steelers have a losing season, that Shador pick is gonna come back to slap him over and over and over. And if he becomes successful in the NFL, we're gonna look at the Steelers and we're gonna be like, how dumb were you? Who was smoking that day? Mm-hmm. What happened for this to happen?
Successful at the Browns?
Do I see the Lord and Savior Jesus H. Christ basically becoming successful with the Browns? I don't think it could happen, though. Like, why would I think that basically he could be successful with them? No, they ain't got nothing. They got what? Jerry Jeudy and them. They drafted those two running backs. They got Njoku. But it's still a team that's like an early gusher.
They got a 5-quarterback rotation.
First in history.
I mean,
you know, one of them is already eliminated. He out of there. Yeah. He getting paid.
Right. Like, they ain't really got shit. But speaking of success, Cardinals, good job, dog. Winning the series against the Dodgers. I love y'all. I love y'all so much. See, y'all just want a close one today. You know, had me a little scared. Like, I don't know if y'all were looking at me, looking dead at my phone and everything. I'm just looking at it just like, oh man.
I was like, buddy.
I'm just like, dog. Like, all right, come on. We can pull this out. We can get this. Like we can't be at home. Go to hell. We have just beaten one of the best teams in all the MLB at the crib while they had their three MVPs playing in these games.
Sunshine's on the dog.
When is the sun gonna shine on y'all motherfuckers? Like, when is that gonna happen? You know, like, since you wanna volunteer your motherfucking floor, like, tell us what the fans are gonna do. Because I don't see them niggas anywhere near the winning circle. All right, where they in the wild card?
He do have a point, because y'all down right now once.
Nigga, you know when it shined on us when we won a series against the Cardinals. That's when it shined on us.
Well, how about the 15 times you motherfuckers went to the playoffs and that basically only shined on y'all once? We got two this whole century, dog. How many y'all got?
How long ago?
One. How many times y'all won the World Series?
At least I was what only a few years ago. Well, like, I was this decade.
I mean, it wasn't this decade. Was it this decade?
2001.
Either way, score or motherfucker. Like, no, man. Like, we got the same amount as y'all this century. That No, it ain't the same amount. We still 2-1 this century. We got two. Two of them dangs. And we've gone to the World Series more times this century.
So far back, I can't even remember. That's how memorable it is.
That's cool. Check your Googles. It's right there. Check your history, dog. No, you know what? Maybe if y'all knew y'all history and knew that basically y'all been trash, whether y'all been treasure, maybe y'all would actually do something. Maybe y'all would actually improve yourselves and be somebody instead of messing up at the last damn minute. Like,
this is what you better override. You better hope. Just come with the game ready, you know. Don't come next series and have it happen again. And we put Bill to the ass. You better make a phone call to the clubhouse. You better make a phone call to the clubhouse and say, look, fellas, we can't take another. You know, But hey, it happens. It's right. It's okay.
Hope is a useless trait, just like y'all are. Y'all are useless. Right. Y'all got nothing to y'all. Y'all ain't even playing y'all own city. Y'all in the county. Y'all in the thick. We down in the thick. We down there right off Clark Street. Right there by the arc. The hood is like right there. Basically, you go where Cass Avenue, all that. No, we in the city. Y'all basically had to go white flight all the way up to Cobb County. So y'all can't even stay in y'all city.
When the podcast is over, you do me a favor. I want you to call Nate and you ask him some tips for the car and us to see how to be. I need to do that.
I mean, my hands got rings all over. I mean, maybe you should teach, you should find out, you know, what y'all need to do to basically fill out your hands. Maybe fill out one hand instead of like a half a hand. Like, y'all got like two fingers.
So right, man, he got to talk about two decades ago.
You
sound like me as a Cowboys fan right now. I think his last one was in
2011. I think your last one was in 2011, Rob.
The last win we had was in 2011. The last appearance was like 2013. But either way, I'm saying is we been there. We be doing the damn thing. Y'all got to figure out how y'all going to basically catch up to us. That's all I'm saying, dog. That's all I'm saying.
I think what you got 11, I got 9. How many do we have? I think he got 4.
No, yeah. Is it 4?
He got 4. No. Yeah, he got 4.
Now, since being in Atlanta, not the Boston Braves, but Atlanta, that
I think
it's two.
How you gonna say dose, it? Wait,
because the Cardinals been in St. Louis the whole time. We ain't been right where we moved off Grand, where we was in Sportsman Park right there at Herbert Hoover. Shout out to the Eagles. We basically was right there. We been in the city. That's what I'm saying. We been in St. Louis. Y'all been traveling around like motherfucking gypsies. That's what the fuck y'all been doing. Y'all need to basically get familiar, get somewhere, homestead, build some roots. Maybe y'all can do something. See, y'all trying to be a hoe. Y'all hoeing around. See, now you got me going. This is supposed to be peaceful.
I'm not bothered.
This is supposed to be a peaceful.
I can't be bothered because at the end of the day, when you look up the series right now, we up. Currently, this season, we up.
What? Is that the only thing y'all up in? Because, look, I don't know if Seattle's can help with what y'all need to talk about. I'm looking at a record right here. Look, I'm looking at wins and losses right here. I'm looking at a record. Because I'm looking at the wild card. Let me look at this thing right here. Let me look at that. All right, put that thing off. So, like, right now, we're in the playoffs. We're in the wild card. You motherfuckers are 8 games back in the wild card. Where are y'all? So y'all basically like way away. Y'all like down the strap, round the corner. Like y'all are nowhere near us. Do y'all even have GPS to get to where we are? Like, do y'all need a MapQuest and shit? Like, what do you need to do to get where I am, my location? Because if you want to talk about this series, I'm talking about the war. I'm talking about everything. Now you got me going. Number one, part two. I'm just saying.
At the end of the day, Ryan,
Hold up, you better get him. I gotta beat the horse to dust. I can keep on going. You know, like, we are the better team. We've been showing we the better team. Y'all the ones that need to catch up. Y'all the ones that basically need to figure out what you need to do to be a better team. Y'all still just trying to be like, oh, we got this player, we got that player, we got this potential, we got that potential. We actually doing the damn thing. We putting shit into motion. That's what we're doing. Y'all basically here sputtering tires in the fucking county, in the fucking burbs. That's what y'all are doing. We import our county people into St. Louis. They catch the Metro Link and then have to basically go through the bullet holes. That's what they have to do. They brave that shit for our team. Y'all basically went out to them. Y'all went out to the county. We would never, absolutely never. Cardinals would never go out to the county. Absolutely never. Here y'all go, though. See? But I rest my goddamn case.
From the hatred that these two have about each other's team to the hatred that Rob put on the Rockies during that last series.
I have never seen somebody try so hard to make an irrelevant team relevant. To make an irrelevant team relevant. Like, it's
hold on.
Come on. Ugh. So.
Well, hold on.
We still all in the news. We always in the news, baby. See, we on national news. You got to turn on St. Louis news.
Yeah, because it's a homicide. You know what? Murder victim basically getting national news. That is absolutely true. The body is sitting right there. I'm seeing it right there. The body is still
MLB hatred between two friends right here to Rob's hatred for the Rockies causing a sweep. Proven results again, ladies and gentlemen. I regained control of the show.
He hates all my
team. But it ain't working for y'all. Y'all motherfuckers are ignorant. That's what it is.
The Rockies, as we had told you guys, as me and Rob said, that the Rockies really hit 50 losses before they hit their 10 wins, which they did. But Rob's hatred of them helped them sweep the Marlins to help get them 10 wins right after they 50 losses. Just so we're correct with it. Another proven fact: if you let Rob hate on your team, there's wins coming, baby. There's wins. They swept the Marlins 6-4, 3-2, 3-2, three game series. They gave them the business, Rob. Haven't we always said we let you hate that there's wins to come?
I basically, like, if I believe in my hate in you, you will do something, and it's proven. Just like Nate said, like, I try to give the people something. Except for I try to give the people that deserve it, my hate. So that they can basically win and do something with their lives. Because we all remember the Rockies back in the day, the Larry Walkers, the Vinny Castillos, the Dante Bichette days, you know, like even going into Ubaldo Jimenez, Cargo, like those cats, like I want to hate so you guys can be something. So you guys can basically know like what you guys can be, what potential you guys can have, okay? Like I want you to be better than those pitiful ass Braves. I want you to basically know what glory can basically actually feel like. And you know what? I didn't even mean to give that shot. I'll let Biscay get his shot later. But you know, you look at me, look at me, Rob. Look at my face. Look at me. I want you to know my hate can drive you to success. You can get another sweep. Maybe in another sweep. Maybe you don't go, 100 games before you hit 30 games. I mean, we don't know. Like, 100 losses before you hit 30 wins. We don't know what's going to happen. But just know that my hate can fuel you for the best.
In all reality, do we think that they can get 100 losses before they get to 30 wins?
Absolutely.
Because they're at 12-51 right now.
Win 49 before they win 18.
Yeah, I think it's possible.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Because, look at the division. Like, granted, with Burns' injury basically happening, I think the Diamondbacks are going to take a step back. But you still got the Giants still great, the Padres still great, the Dodgers still great. Like, having to combat those teams. And then the rest of the NL, like, outside of the bullshit-ass Braves, like, this, they got some squads here. Like, the Reds have basically been even. Like, they got, like, a, nice run differential. The Brewers are still right there. The Nats, which I didn't realize the Nats were going to be as sorry as they were, like, those pitiful-ass Braves. But, like, these teams, like, they have a chance to basically beat the Rockies and basically put it to where
fucking Cardinals. Fuck out Albert Pujols, sorry ass. I'm tired of you and them ugly, dirty, doodle red looking Cardinals. With them birds looking like I don't know who did it and why. Looking like a fucking ugly crow that you painted red. That's what it looked like. Ugly ass logos, everything. Uniforms, your stadium trash, everything.
Oh, I knew it was coming. But I do think that they could lose 100. I do think that they could probably lose 100 games before they get to 30.
Yeah, I think so too.
It is possible. Because the other four teams in the division are all 30-win-plus teams right now.
Yeah.
And they are the only team, to be honest, they are the only team in Major League Baseball that has not hit 20 wins yet. Which is kind of,
It's crazy.
I think they're just going out there because they're getting paid to at some point.
Oh, that's absolutely it. Because, like, the White Sox, I ain't going to say the White Sox. The White Sox were a tire fire. They got some guys that they bringing up, and basically they got some dudes that are paying some dividends for them. But, like, they're pretty bad. But the Rockies are so far worse, and it's nuts at how bad they are. It's actually nuts.
Yeah, but the White Sox are almost 500 at home.
Yeah.
The Rockies aren't close to 500 at home on the road. They're like the opposite of green eggs and ham. They can't win nowhere.
Yeah.
I cannot win at my house. I can't win on the road. I can't win if you fed me a bowl of Rocky Roos. We cannot win no matter where we are. Whether we're here or we're far. That's just what the Rockies are. That's just all it is right now, bro.
And that was great.
I looked at them and I'm trying to figure out. And it's like I told you guys before the show. They have a GM owner that's been there for 20-something years. And nobody's challenged him about this.
Yeah.
Nobody.
They must all be getting paid real good. That's why nobody challenged.
Yeah.
The Rockies have 12. They have 12 total wins. Okay. A couple of them are like, damn, they beat that person. But it's incredible that they won. And if you look at the beginning of the season in March, they lost. And then they won. They won the second game of the season. That has been their best record since the second game of the season. Whenever they were 1-1, they were 500.
Damn.
Because then they lost the next 6, and then they won again. And then they lost 2, and then they won again. And then they lost the next 8 before they won again. And then they lost another 9, and then they won 2 back-to-back. And then after winning them 2 back-to-back, they lost another 7-1. They lost another 4-1. And they lost another 5-1. And then lost another 8.
Really?
And then they won 3 in a row.
Yeah.
And then after they won them 3 in a row, they lost again. And they might get swept because they're playing the Mets in this series.
That's a
dumpster
fire over there.
So bad.
I don't know how they allowed to be that bad.
Somebody's got to take the pin, brother. Like, that's maybe just what it is.
Somebody got to.
But it comes down to our prediction of 4 teams out there in the West going into the playoffs.
That's still going to be wild.
I'm less on it because Corbin Burns got hurt. I don't know who they're going to have to replace him. Maybe they'll go out and get somebody. Like, because that'd be the thing. Like, I think they've gone... The Diamondbacks are going to have to get aggressive in trying to keep that up because they have a chance to basically supplant. Like, I mean, the Phillies are great. So either they either got to make the choice of, hey, we're going to basically, you know, see how this thing goes and we ain't going to try to make no moves. Cause I mean, Corbin Burns is going to be out for at least the next year, essentially. So, like, I think they got to go find somebody, but I can see them basically being like, well, we ain't really got nothing, or we ain't going to have enough to basically combat the Phillies to get basically, or the Cardinals to get them out of those spots. So
I'll say this. With that being said, that they may not have anybody to combat them, how much stake do we put in Arizona getting somebody?
They've been aggressive. Like, they've gone out and gotten Eugenio Suarez. They've gotten, like, players that they've needed. I think that they were... Let me see who they got, like, prospect-wise. Like, they might just actually go out and try to find somebody just to fill that void. I think they should. They got to at least give it the college try. I think that they're... I see them doing it more than I would any other team. Like, they seem like they're an aggressive team. They seem like, hey, we've already got a taste of World Series. We need to win now. We need to keep this fire going, especially while Corbin Carroll is cheap. We just gave Kettle Marte some more money. But, like, as we have this core that we're building, let's go ahead and get as many dudes as we can, trade whoever we need to, maybe give up Jordan Lawler, you know, for somebody that's great. Give up some other guys that maybe even Drew Jones, you know, who's been in the minors for a while. Like, give up some people just so basically we can go get somebody.
Okay, and before we switch to our WWE and cover this, are we still out, Rob? Or are you still saying the Cubs are going to do Cubs shit? They 40-24.
I said that they were going to win the division. I had them winning the division. I still have them winning the division. Because, I mean, the Cardinals, as well as they're doing, like, I don't know if they'll be able to supplant them. And that's with them losing Justin Steele to Tommy John. Like, I don't know what's going to happen with the Cardinals or if they can basically keep their going. I don't think they're going to go out and get any free agents. They've been staying pat and saying, we're going to develop who we develop, do it the Cardinal way, develop who we can develop. Even though we haven't really developed starting pitching, they probably would need to go get that. But it's still to where they're going to rely on their young core to basically get them where they need to be. I think the Cubs with Kyle Tucker, who, even though I had Austin Riley as the MVP, Kyle Tucker might be the MVP candidate or front runner right now in the NL along with Shohei and all them. But like, nah, man, I think the Cubs, I think they're going to basically still win the Central. But, you know, Cardinals going to give them a run for their money because it doesn't seem like the rest of the division will.
Yeah, the Cubs are out there. Like, the Cubs and the Yankees are blasting right now because they both have plus 100 plus run differentials right now, which is crazy right now. Plus 109 for the Cubs and plus 102 for the Yankees. But you know the Yankees are. They checkbook heavy. They're going to buy their runs.
Figure that shit out.
My second most hated team behind them bitch-ass Cardinals. But, you know, I always hate to see the Yankees go.
You know what? It's funny that, you know, you always hated on success. Like, it seems like a mental problem. Like, it seems like a you problem and a them problem. It don't seem like a us problem. It seems like you just really hate success. So I don't know. Maybe it's a jealousy thing. Maybe you just have something about y'all that's like, oh, look at these. And it's the teams with basically the most World Series wins in all of baseball. Like, you got the number one and the number two basically franchises that have the most World Series wins overall. Maybe that's just what you are. Maybe that's what it is. Just like, you like, man, look at them.
You would be a Cardinals fan to take up for the Yankees. It would be.
I ain't taking up for the Yankees. I'm just taking up for you.
A team like the Yankees.
And your bullshit ass squad. I am on the righteous side of success. You are on the pitiful side of jealousy and failure. I am showing you. I am a model. We are a model of consistency and success for y'all. Y'all need to basically get your little notepad, your handy dandy notebook, take down some notes. Maybe you might be something one day. Maybe that's the key to your success. Maybe you just need to put it in the hole, big dog. You just need to basically put that key in and just basically just twist a little bit. See if it works. A little bit.
Just like the WWE Universe old Baron Corbin. That's how I'm born.
But as you talk about the WWE Universe, guys, I want to play our favorite game on this here podcast. And it is blah. And because we have Money in the Bank tonight, this is a perfect chance to play with the basically match card that we have right here. So now that I'm basically going to put on my game show face, let's go ahead and kick off another edition of blah. So, fellas, we have, first up, the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. We have bunch of different ladies: Julia, Rhea Ripley, Alexa Bliss, Roxanne Perez, Naomi, and I can't remember the sixth one because I didn't pull it up. But we have them tonight.
Julia, I want to say.
I said Julia. Yeah, I think. Either way, we have that match tonight. So I'm gonna basically take it to that Cardinals hating, Braves loving motherfucker over there. To this ladder match.
To be perfectly honest, I'm torn. I'm kind of torn. I'm not going to say blah because I feel like it's going to be a good match. But I just don't know what they're going to do with it. I don't see the vision for certain people winning the briefcase. Me personally, only person my fandom wants to see win is Naomi. You know, then I'm going to But, you know, anybody else, I'm just kind of like, will they be interesting with them? Or unless they just winning it to cash in, like, I don't know, tomorrow or something. You know, that's the only reason I can see any one of them winning. Because, like, I don't really see them being interesting enough with the case to actually hold it long. So that's why I'm kind of like a nah on that part with them.
Okay, Nate, your turn. Yeah, nah, or blah.
I'm kind of with Visky. I'm not going to say it's a nah. It's kind of a blah-ish. I don't know where we're going. I'm kind of with you, Visky. If Naomi is getting this, it's only one or two people I can see getting this. Me and Zing, they're going to give it to Naomi, or they're going to give it to Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the two people who get it. If they give it to Stephanie, are we going too fast? with her. But if we give it to Naomi, is this going to be the continuation of her, you know, her heel run? How good could this be? Heel champion Naomi? Might be pretty good. This might be pretty good, though.
You mentioned that, Nate, with the moving too fast. I feel like that's been, like, the trend lately. Triple H been kind of moving up. NXT people through the ranks a little fast.
But you know why, though? I feel like it's because they don't know what, if the older statesmen are getting off or they're firing or they're moving away, he's trying to bring in new talent. Mm-hmm. The problem is, I don't want to go off on this tangent. WWE got too many damn shows that they not utilizing enough people to make us love or fall in love with those people. Mm-hmm. They just pluck you. Main roster. Come on, go. Main roster. And that's all we get. And you like, who is this? Mm-hmm. And that's our issue right now. That's our biggest issue. And I don't think they understand that. I don't think any of them understand that just yet. But I think it's sooner or later it has to hit them. It has to. What do you think, Rob?
So I'm actually go, yeah. I think the people in this match, like, usually the Money in the Bank match for the women's do not disappoint. It's usually first, usually the hottest match. Usually, like, it's a barn burner. Like, these women, like, usually the women in the match kill it. And, I mean, with this crop of women, like, I think, you know, you got people that have already been in, like Rhea, like Alexa. I think Naomi's been in as well. Like, and then you got the new crop, where you got Roxanne, Stephanie, and Julia. Like, granted, these are people that have been in NXT. These are women that have been in NXT, but these are women that are not new. Like, Roxanne been in NXT for a long time. She was the start. She was in there when the 2.0 era started. Stephanie and Julia, like, they've been around the world. They basically been cutting their teeth in NXT and won championships within it. Like, these are women that have known what to do, but this is going to be their first big shining match that basically they're going to be in, and I think that they're going to absolutely kill it. I got Roxanne basically winning the briefcase. I think that it's going to be more of the Judgment Day angle with her basically winning it and her basically doing something with it and being that, you know, into what the Judgment Day are doing. Like, she's going to be that part of it. And just continue that on, because it's the hottest thing really going right now in my mind. Like, yeah, that's my winner, but I wouldn't go against, like, them basically saying Stephanie putting a rocket ship on her and basically going, because people have been liking her. She is a great talent, and, like, I think she'd make a great champion.
She could. I kind of want to see the Naomi. Stephanie is my second pick. Anybody else, I'm like, okay, let's see what this happens. I don't know. It's a lot of stuff that I feel like they could pay us three to write.
Yeah. But with that being said, with who you guys think will win it, do you guys think it's going to be a successful cash-in or a non-successful cash-in?
Successful.
Honestly, depends on who they go after. I think if it's EO, it's successful. I don't think it's successful going after Tiff. Mm.
Good point.
Like, let's look, all right, didn't Stephanie, didn't she sign the Raw or SmackDown? I forgot. I seen it and I can't remember who it was. If it was Nick or all this talking to her.
Anybody? I can't remember.
I know she signed. Depending on where she signed, if she gonna win. I feel like if whoever wins it, I have to be a Raw person so they could do EO.
I think they could just do whichever. I don't know. Yeah, like, I'm trying to see, like, how many, because I meant to pull up, like, how many people have failed to cash in. I think it's been like 6 or 7.
No women. But all the women have successfully cast.
But you
see, that's why I'm saying the woman's one is gonna be successful.
Yeah. So if you guys both have that successful one, y'all had is not successful.
I think no matter who it is, this is gonna be a successful.
I feel like it's about time.
Okay.
I don't think that they're that smart.
I mean, it would be.
I don't think it would be this one.
It would be interesting, especially if you're talking about, say, Naomi winning and basically cashing in and then not
like,
cashing
in. Like Jade and them costing her to cash in or some shit like that. Mm-hmm.
That would be interesting.
That would be interesting. But let's go ahead to the next match. Becky versus Lyra for the Intercontinental title. It's a rematch of what just happened at Backlash. Nate, yeah, nah, or blah?
Yeah, I think this could be a good match. But I also think that they're about to make Becky Intercontinental Champion. Mm. I think that they're about to make Becky Intercontinental Champion. It's not a knock on Lyra. It's something about her that screams, I'm kind of over, but I'm not over. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people gravitated towards the man. The man, Becky Lynch, they gravitated towards that. And I think right now, if you took it off of Lyra and you put it on Becky, Becky's going to give them something to chase, and they like her. Lyra retaining maybe gives her more validity over Becky if she retains, but it depends. It depends upon how this match goes. If she's booked even, or if she's booked even with Becky, okay, cool. If she's booked even, she wins. That's a good booking. It gives her a little bit more validity. It puts her on the level with Becky. But if she's booked under and happens to retain, this isn't a good look for her. You just would have did better just passing it over here.
Gotcha. All right, so Vizky, yeah, nah, or blah.
I am a big yes, and I can't believe Nate just went so kind-hearted to Lyra like that, because this is the biggest knock on Lyra. I get the belt off of her, please. Please. I'm ready for her to lose the belt. I want 90 seconds. I don't even need a match. Give me 90 seconds, baby. Squash? Give me 90 seconds. Manhandle slam. 1, 2, 3. Give me 90 seconds. You know why? Lyra comes out, it's crickets. It's crickets. She never gets the reaction. Like, she be talking. She not answering. She's so vanilla in the ring.
Yeah. That's why I said she's not old. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not feeling it, and she just need to come up with something else. Take off. Let her go back. Come out with a new gimmick or something. I need something. That's it with me with that.
So I'll go with blah. I'm still blah. And it's because of what y'all said. for their match, now I'm a blah. I was a yeah for the Money in the Bank match, so I'm a blah for this one. But like, yeah, no, nah, I'm not into Lyra. I'm still not. I'm more than what I was, but it's like, just instead of being 0%, I'm like 5%. Like, I think that they're trying with her. I think that they're trying to get, because when she cut that promo, I think it was like, because I haven't been catching up on Raw too much, but like that cut promo where she said, I just need to get more angry. I think that was them telling her since she needs to get more angry. She needs more emotion. She needs more feel. Becky has at least got feel with a lot of that shit that she comes off with. Lyra just doesn't. And it's hard because Lyra is a pretty good wrestler. I just not into what she does. I'm just not big into it. I'm not going to say too much more, but like, I'm not big into Becky's matches. Like, I think Becky is a good wrestler. I think she's excellent on the mic. Her matches are cool. Kind of like Miz. They're just one of those kind of people. Like, carry a match, she could do a match, but it's like, I'm not coming to watch her. She's not somebody that I would basically jump out of my way to go watch in a match. But yeah, no, I'm blah towards it. I think they're going to take the belt off of her because, like you said, Nate, better to have the babyface chase than have her keep on beating Becky and having the same story over and over again, unless they're going to have like some kind of rubber match at, say, like a SummerSlam or something like that. Then basically, yeah, this is the time to go ahead, take the belt off Lyra, have her chase, have somebody else come up and basically challenge for the Intercontinental title, because there's really not much of an Intercontinental division going on right now. So this is a perfect opportunity to have that.
Yeah, and plus, To me, they didn't. Lyra doesn't have enough because she's Irish. She's Irish in place to her Irish heritage, but her work doesn't speak. I'm the aggressive Irish person. Because she's supposed to portray the Irish goddess of war. And
there is no war.
Isn't that?
There is no war.
Maybe a war in the McDonald's line, maybe. You know, that's about it, though.
Oh, blur.
That's about it.
They dropped the ball because that title was supposed to go to my girl, Dakota Kai. That's who was supposed to rock the first. She'd have got more out. I feel like she'd have got more out.
That girl got curly hair and they kicked her ass out. And said, you too much. You ain't Dakota, you Dakeisha. Get the fuck out. That's what they really just did to her.
It's kind of wild. Dakeisha Kai, all right, I see you, dude.
Hey, the hair was nice, dog. Like, it was fly. But yeah, they kicked out. But next one, the men's Money in the Bank ladder match. We have LA Knight, we have Penta, we have Andrade, we have Solo Sikoa, we have Seth Rollins, we have El Grande Americano. So, Vizky, yeah, nah, a blah.
I'm a hell yeah for this. I feel like it's going to be an excellent match itself. I think it's going to be a lot of spots. I feel like there's a lot of funny ways they could go with the winner, like, depending on who win. Like, the only person I feel like Andrade and Penta is the only two that I feel like really not.
That King Witness. But
any other four, I feel like you could make something great, and they would be all four great briefcase holders. Duff, El Grande, Solo, or L.A. Knight, I feel like each one of them would do something great with a briefcase, but it would feel strange. Like, do they really want Self to win it again? So we'll see. I'm real big on it. Shit, I would like Solo, you know. So he go for the one title, shoot Jay. He could go for Jay, or he could go for John Cena and try to make it play like the Bloodline gonna have both. You never know. That's just so many ways. So that's what I'm big on now.
Okay, Nate. Yeah, no, I'm lost.
Yeah. For the same reason he said, and because of this, I don't want to see this become all Bloodline thing. I'm not gonna say that. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna say that I want to see that. But for one, this needs to be the ending of El Grande Americano. I need him to go. I need either LA Knight, Seth, or Solo to come out with this. If you're asking me, I want LA Knight to get this. That's why I want to get this. I want LA Knight to get this. I want us to be in his promos. I want to see him chase. I want to see him hawk somebody down. It's either him, Seth, Solo. Look, I'm not gonna harp too much on this El Grande Americano, Chad Gabriel, but the amount of botches, unless you just don't care, you just want the people to know that is Chad Gabriel. He had his boots on the other night with the CG on.
Yeah,
I've seen it. The tattoo didn't been shown. Like, if we're doing this on purpose, fine. But you can't let the tattoo be shown 1 week and then covered the next week. And then help him out here in Chad Gabriel boots. So what?
El Grande forgot his game. Boots. That's my thing. What is the end game?
I don't think that there's an end game. That's the problem.
I think the end game is they trying to basically just... I don't think they're trying to veil this shit as much as, you know, like other people have had it. Like, this not like the blue, not what it was. What was the Owen Hart's thing? Blue Blazer and Owen Hart.
Blue Blazer. Yeah.
Like, I think they're trying to basically say, hey, they're trying to, you know, wink and smile at this. So, but I'll basically give my take on it. And I was surprised, y'all. I'm actually blah on this. Because it's something about this match. Yeah, it's something about like these guys being in it. It's like I'm not so like there's a case for really to me three people basically winning this briefcase, and that's Seth, yep. LA, and Sokoa. Like I don't see Grande, I don't see Andrade, I don't see Penta basically winning it and for having a reason to win it. And like I don't really see Seth outside of what they're trying to do be a multiple time Money in the Briefcase holder. Like, I don't know. It's just something about it. It's like, I don't think it's necessary. I mean, unless you're trying to basically say, like, okay, I'm going to be at everybody's neck. I'm going to be this. I see LA Knight winning this.
CM Punk is the only two-time winner. So, to try to say, I'm also a two-time winner.
True. That's true. So, basically, you have that match thing. That's a great point. But, like, I don't know. It's like the guys that's in this match, I'm not really big into them having a ladder match. They're all older dudes, except for Penta. And Solo, essentially. It's something about it. It's like, I'm not seeing the spectacle for this match. And it's like, I think they deserve it. I think it's like, these guys are probably the best guys that should be in this match. But it's also, there's like, I'm just not big into it. And it's like, part of me is just like, okay, do I really want to see this? Do I want to drop everything to see this? I just don't. But I'm not against it. I'm not going to basically be like, I'm not going to pass it up. I'm not going to basically be like, all right, toilet break match. It's just that I'm not big into this match. I think it's going to be probably pretty good. I'm just blah on it.
Respect it.
It's one thing that I can say about this. The one reason that Pence is in here, we know got to be ladder spots. High flying at ladder spots. That's what we looking for from him.
Same with Andrade.
Now, the only thing that came to my mind whenever you said something, Rob, if you give it to Seth, this does give WWE maybe a new angle with that particular new group, the New Deadly Alliance. And to give one of them the briefcase right now, to potentially have a title go somewhere outside of where it's been, Bloodline-ish and John Cena in them area, you do give that group a reason to go mess with the Bloodline now. That would be my reason to give him the briefcase. Now, we all know WWE creative isn't more creative than a box of Captain Crunch. If they were smart, That's why I would give it to him. Deadly Alliance, Bloodline.
Okay. Or what if they Freebird rule the fucking briefcase? Because nothing says that you, the briefcase owner has to basically be the one to cash it in. But essentially, I think it's just the match. It's like an open contract, like a blank check. So what if they Freebird rule the fucking thing and you go, like, say Seth comes down and then he looks at Braun and he just says, boom, gives it to Braun. Now Braun is basically go spear Jey Uso and basically becomes world champ.
That could happen. But what I'm saying is it has to touch him first. Mm. And this would give us a new dynamic with the Bloodline. But like I said, they're not more creative than a box cat.
Seth would be the one to come up with something like that. But he'd be like, I said the rules of the match, which means like no disqualification against me. But you could get DQ'd and lose the title, like some crazy rules like that, you know?
Right.
Just saying though, it has to be. I think me and you talked about this a while back, Rob. There has to be something added to this Bloodline thing. Yeah. If you want to continue pushing what it is, you got rid of the one group that could, but now you have a new group. Mm-hmm. That's formed. And this is your time to pit your group against another group. You hand him the briefcase, he gets the chase. It's three of them now. I think Deadly Alliance back in the day was four or five. So what, they at three right now? They could adopt one more, maybe two more, and now it's on.
And funny little thing, I don't know if y'all watched SmackDown. When they was in the ring, the Deadly Alliance and the Bloodline, and I don't know if many people caught the symbolism of what Solo did. He told Seth, he was like, look like you got you a little Bloodline here. And he said, you got your wives, man. Then he looked at Braun, he said, what you supposed to be? Right-hand man, Jey Uso? And then he looked at JC Mateo and he said, who you supposed to be? The honorary Sami Zayn? I caught the symbolism. Mm-hmm. He compared JC Mateo to Sami Zayn because he's the only one that's not white in the new group.
Yeah, sure.
I say, bro, that's funny, bro. I say, you got to be paying attention to catch that symbolism.
That's why I said it. That would make sense for him to get the briefcase. You know what? Seth Rollins to win the briefcase today.
Yep.
All right. It makes the most sense now to me.
But let's go back to it just like we did the women's match. So, Nate, you saying successful cash in or not successful?
Successful.
Vizky, well, successful or not successful?
I'm definitely going successful for this.
All right. Yeah.
It's going to be successful. It's going to be, if Seth Rollins get it and he wins, it's going to be Seth freaking Rollins, champion, Deadly Alliance, taking one from the Bloodline. Now we got two groups that can clash.
Lately, we've been having a lot of unsuccessful ones lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we do for some success here.
Yeah. All right. Now let's go to the main event, or what I think is going to be the main event. Cena and Logan Paul versus Jey Uso and Cody Rhodes. Who win? Yeah. Nate. Yeah.
Okay.
Nah.
Blah. Okay. I'm a blah, and I'm going to tell you why. Mm-hmm. Okay. Didn't I just tell you, little kid, that I don't want to see Cody Rhodes' ass and he's back already? Didn't I just tell y'all this? I was tired of seeing this man. Go reinvent yourself. I don't want to see you right now. I just don't. My mind with him is he could be the people's quote-unquote person. If he had a TV title around his waist right now, I wouldn't even care. Because that would fit him right now, okay? The WWE Championship, him being a people's person kind of champ in a way, would be better than him being undisputed. Because he's not that right now. He's not ready. John Cena kind of flame broiled you and told you, you just a lesser copy of me. And he was right. He was right. They bought you in and tried to make you me. And I really was carrying this torch. Dominic is that. And the other thing is, do I want to kind of see this? Nah, not really. Logan Paul is there. He's been pretty decent wrestling. Jey Uso, he's getting his comeuppance right now. He's the guy. He's pumping. It shouldn't have been Cody Rhodes there. It could have been anybody else except Cody. Like, I just didn't want to see him run right back to this. You just lost, and now you're running back to get involved with something that has John Cena attached to it.
Right.
This could have went any other way. Just not you. It could have been, for all I care, if Miz wasn't going to do the Gladiator shit, Ultimate Gladiator, it could have been him next to Jey Uso or whoever.
Right.
I just didn't want to see Cody Rhodes right now. So I'm like, blah, man. I'm going to watch it. If it's good, it's good. I'm going to be like, all right, it's good. But right now, I'm like, eh. All right,
Beeski.
Don't really
care. Yeah, nah, blah.
I'm not giving it a full-blown blah. I'm just giving it kind of like a nah. I just really honestly feel like this match is just there to really tease a cash in or have a briefcase holder come out. I feel like that's the only reason it's there. And if they don't do that, then there was no reason to really have this match, I feel like. But I'm not going to give it a blah because I feel like that means something interesting must go ahead. So that's why, you know, I feel like I want to see that. But I'm not giving the match a yeah. I'm just giving it a nah for that
person. Yeah. So I'm with y'all. I'm basically a nah. Like, I don't really care for this match at all. Like, whatsoever. And it's like, I understand that they're wanting to basically, they didn't want to make it a full-on singles match with having, I mean, because they already did the thing with Logan Paul and Jey Uso. They wanted to basically get all these guys together and have, you know, whatever. I'm not, it's like, I'm somewhat interested to see what Logan Paul going to do with John Cena. I'd rather see them in a match. I wouldn't even want to, I don't really care to see them as a tag team. Like, I would rather see them have a match. Maybe they'll probably have a match in Saudi Arabia or something for, like, the King of the Ring or something like that. But I'm not even remotely interested in this match, for real. This is a match I'm probably going to skip. No matter where it is on the card, maybe, because I'm thinking it's going to be the last match. Like, I'm
gotta see if somebody going to, like, you know, tease us to come out.
Look. UFC is a UFC fight on tonight. That's supposed to be really good. Like, I'll probably dip into that, to be honest with you.
Exactly. Like, I will be transitioning over there.
Or College World Series. You know, like, I'll basically be in something in that, like, versus, like, this match. Like, I'm just not interested at all. But to your point, that would be actually a reason to watch it. Because, like, I don't know what's going to happen with this match. Like, whether there's going to be somebody that's going to try to run up and cash in, or not cash in. No, because it could be a cash in. This could be the time that basically there is a cash in right during this match, and that's a perfect reason to have it as the main event, or at least after the men's Money in the Bank match, whenever that's going to be. So, no, I mean, that's a great point. That's a great point.
I feel like this could be like one of the few times a man actually cashes in the night of, and the win. The woman will hold a briefcase like Carmella did for so long.
Yeah, because I think the only like night, I can't remember, the only one I could think of off the top of my head is Kane, like that did it the same night. But Dana, like, he did do it same night.
Yeah. He called it. He said he would.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll see. But that was an excellent edition of Yeah, Nah, or Blah. Thank you to all the participants. Wait.
You forgot a match. Dominic Mysterio, Octagon, and a guy I know.
I'm not seeing it right here.
That was the name.
I don't see it on.
Dominic Mysterio and Octagon Jr. was the name.
That might be Worlds Collide.
The flying, you know what about the motherfucker matches?
Yeah, because like, okay, no, this is WWE.com. This is your fault, and this is why. Because I was looking on the predictions page, and I'm looking at this like all the predictions, and Dominic Mysterio and Octagon Jr. were not on there. You know what? Let's do it. Open back up. Yeah, nah, blah. All right, Beeski. Yeah, nah, blah. Dominic Mysterio, Octagon Jr.
Honestly, I don't know who Octagon Jr. is.
Octagon Senior's sick son.
Well, that helps.
And he owed the Octagon.
I mean, I'm going to have to say nah, just because I don't know. I'm just going to have to watch and see because this is a surprise. I have no prior knowledge of any of this. So because of that, I'm kind of a nah at the moment. Pass.
Yeah, pass. All right, Nate. Yeah, nah, blah. Dominic Mysterio, Octagon Jr.
Yeah, I want to see this match. There's the reason I want to see this match is because this is the match that Dominic Mysterio called out Octagon Jr. If you've never seen Octagon Jr., I like to call him a semi-swole, high-flying luchador. Okay. Mm. Him versus Dominic, I think, and this is just me pulling this one out because I think that it can happen. Have we ever seen Dominic do the Three Amigos?
Yes.
I think tonight we might see him try to pull out the Three Amigos. I think tonight it might happen. Octagon Jr. can fly. He can move. I think that this is going to be a fast-paced match. It's going to be a lot of movement. I think that this is going to be a very entertaining match. And this is the one that I'm kind of the most excited to see out of all of the matches. I enjoy this type of matchup.
So, I'm going to say yeah. And it's not for the reasons that you guys think I'm going to say yeah. You want to know the reason why I'm going to say yeah? Because this motherfucker's Kalisto. Octagon Jr. is Kalisto.
Yeah, Kalisto.
I didn't know who Octagon Jr. was. But I did not know that he's Kalisto. So yeah. Kalisto versus fucking Dominic Mysterio. Yeah. I mean.
With that new information, I would like to change my answer. I'm a yeah.
because his name in AAA is Octagon Jr. and Golden Dragon are the two that he goes by outside of that. So he came back in, he challenged him as Octagon Jr. to fight, which this is going to be very interesting. That's why I said I'm for this match. I am all for this match because I know that this is going to be a good match. And that's why I said tonight I think that we're going to see
a myriad
of moves.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at right here.
Yeah,
but didn't they have two of them?
Yeah, two at one point. Yeah,
yeah. And
this is the good Kalisto, not the bad, not the one who's messing up everything. This is the good.
Which Kalisto had his time. Like I fuck with Kalisto, dog. Like
yeah, but he's in way better shape. Like now, yeah, he's way better shape. He's in way better shape, dog. Because he's one of like the few luchadors that I keep up with. He's in really good shape right now, though.
Okay. Good on him. Fuck yeah. Let's go. I remember knowing of like Octagon because I would see him like in old like, see, I think it was like WCW shits. It's like some New Japan shits and stuff like that. But yeah, like I didn't realize Kalisto was basically taking on that role. Because like, he was Samurai DeSoul. Like, yeah, like fuck yeah. Let's go.
Matter of fact, after we finish this, I'll show you guys the call out that Dominic Mysterio did to him. But I'm for this match. Shit, this is the match I want to see. This is probably the match I want to see the most. Like, I want to see the Money in the Bank shits, but I'm more interested in this.
I'm about to say, this is the only consensus yeah that we have.
I know, right?
This is the only yeah that we all basically, like, went with. Like, okay.
Because trust me, the John Cena match, like, I kind of got a feeling there, you know, some dirty crap going to happen. You know, them might
we
win.
All
you know,
like a now.
Because this match, this is a filler match because they couldn't get somebody else to face Cena. This is, I'm going to say this. WWE creative, I don't know how much you paying three writers back then. But look, we all doing our thing, but you can pay us. Right, if you giving them $200,000 a piece, we'll take $150 a piece. We'll get up. Y'all cutting costs anyway. Let us save you $150,000. You pay us a combined $450, and instead of paying $600, help y'all out, bro.
We'll be a little bit cheaper for y'all, man. Come on.
Just here to help.
Ready? I already got your next week planned out for you. I told Jarvis we can bring back the TV title. Right? Because there's no title that's defended every week right now. We can bring back the TV title. Okay? Let's have the Arn Anderson Classic. Okay? And that alone, right, I can have a SmackDown side and a Raw side, and that can cover you probably an hour on each show.
Yeah.
Already do the first round. I'm already there, bro. I'm already there. Hire me and my boys. Because he had the TV title alone. Arn Anderson had it. It's something like 800 and some days and like four reigns that year. Dude, Arn Anderson, bro, I got y'all. And then all of this will culminate to, guess what? A match at Night of Champions. And you crown your first WWE TV, your new WWE TV title person. I already gave you a match. I didn't give y'all free game. Now, look, if y'all take my idea, I'm just saying, the least you could do is fly me and the three homies out, you know, and take care of everything that we need, you know, yeah, lots of fine dining and whatnot, you know, Night of Champions, you know.
I got some more ideas. Only the first one is free.
Yeah, the first, you know, first one's complimentary. After that, I need to get paid. I need something back.
Like I said, we'll get paid in tickets and hotels.
Because your first set, because trust me, your writers don't know what they're doing at times. I think that they throwing shit at the wall and they like, hey, if it stick, it stick. And I'm not for that right now. I'm just not. But with that being said, we have given you our whole rundown of what we feel is Money in the Bank, how we think this is going to play out. You've got the witness Rob and Jarvis go back and forth.
And Rob winning and all that kind of stuff, yeah.
And we have given you all of this entertainment on Bromigos Podcast. Remember, like, share, subscribe. Like I said, it's free. Go ahead and hit the button. You know, here, Spotify, TikTok, everywhere. Everywhere. Anything you guys want to say before we go ahead and get up out of here?
Josh, you go ahead.
I just want to say congrats to my hometown UTSA Roadrunners. We play today at 6 o'clock Central Time. See if we could keep on trucking to the College World Series final. I'm rooting for the home team. So let's keep it up, Roadrunners. That's it.
What about you, Rob?
Good night, Canada. Good night, Taylor Swift. Man, y'all have a good weekend. Thank you for coming to watch us. Like, hopefully we gave y'all some good laughs and everything like that. But yeah, absolutely, like, subscribe. Tell your people to tell your people about us. YouTube, here you can listen to audio versions on, you know, like I said, Spotify, all that. Get wherever you get podcasts, we're probably there and been there for a little minute. So, all right, just get at us. Get our stuff. We lost it.
See, I knew he was going to try to do it.
All right, y'all. Thank you,
Ricola. Ricola.
But with that being said, guys, I'm going to go ahead and get up out of here. We love y'all. We out. Peace.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the Bromigos Podcast. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.